good morning, everyone. Happy almost Friday. Welcome to First Take. I'm Christine Williamson here for Molly Karam. We've got a little crew here. We got Kendrick Perkins, Brian Windhorst, and Austin Rivers here with me in studio. How are we doing, gentlemen? Doing good on this almost Friday?
All good.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. All right. You know where we're starting. And the assist. What were you going to say, Perk? Anything?
Nothing. I was going to say happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
All right. We're starting the association. Last night, De'Aaron Fox tied a career high with 44 points in the Kings' defeat of the Lakers, 130 to 120. In the final minutes of the game, LeBron James limped off the court and into the locker room due to a nagging ankle injury. James came into the night listed as questionable because of it. Here he is for more.
Did you step on someone on a previous possession?
No, it was just my ankle. It was just what I've been just trying to deal with before the break, after the break. Just manage it as best way I can, you know. Played the whole third, sat a little bit to start the fourth. And, you know, when I got back in, it kind of just, you know, whatever. It's just somebody's been dealing with.
In a sense of urgency, we have to just be able to maintain that. Early on, it was good. We just, again, we talk about initiating, sustaining, and finishing the way we want to force our will on the game. And we obviously initiated it, but we didn't sustain it. We damn sure didn't finish it. The cavalry ain't coming. We got 18 left. We just got to buckle down and try to do a better job.
All right, Wendy, my friend, I'm going to start with you. How concerned are you about LeBron's health?
No more concerned than I have been on this injury for the last 6-8 weeks. He has been questionable every game for weeks. He will remain questionable probably until the end of the season. We'll see. It's tendonitis. And with tendonitis, anybody who's had it knows that it gets on you. And the best thing to do would be to take a couple of weeks off. But he can't do that. So he has to manage it day to day. That's one of the reasons why at the All-Star break, he took the extra time afterwards to try to get it to calm down. And it did. He was feeling better. And now it's back. I don't know if you'll see LeBron play in back-to-backs the rest of the way. And if he does, it's going to be really like a game time decision, because you're going to have to see how that ankle is feeling and its mobility and its ability to play on it. The good news for the Lakers is I think they only have two back-to-backs left. So he will do what he has done with ongoing injuries throughout his career. He will get treatment as aggressively as he can before the Lakers' next game. They're in a fortunate part of their schedule here where there's almost no travel for them. So there's no worry about, as much worry about, you know, issues with the travel and the swelling, and there's more time to treat it when he's home. But it's not going away. It's going to be a nagging thing. And if you look at just about every team in the league, especially a whole bunch of teams in the East that are missing star players, this is a reality in March in the NBA.
Well, the reality is that the Lakers are done. And I'm very, very concerned about LeBron James when it comes to his health. And rightfully so. This man is 39 years old, right? And I'm talking about concern for his physical health and his mental health at this point. He's doing everything and more to carry and keep this team alive just to be in the play-in tournament. Like, I don't even want to think about what he's going to have to go through or put his body through for them to even try to make the playoffs and then make a run in the postseason. And so it's unfair for me to come on here and say that I expect big things out of Bron at the age of 39, which he's already been giving us big things, but to continue to carry this team. And by the way, where the hell is Anthony Davis at right now? Like, this is the time for him to step up and show, you know, why he should be a top five player in the league. LeBron has tried to give him the keys to the car. He only went around the corner. Like, take a road trip. Actually carry the load. Be a guy that is in the middle of his prime and go out there and do what you do best. Last night, another prime example of Sabonis giving him that work. And that's been over the last 8 or 9 games Sabonis has owned this matchup. Like, at some point, we gotta, you know, take in consideration, real consideration. I'm with you on this, Wendy. 39 years of age, LeBron James. He finished the game last night with 13-5. What more can he do? And I'm very concerned for the LeBron James and his health, physically and mentally.
Yeah, I agree with both Perk and Wendy. I mean, we have to be concerned. If you're a Lakers fan, you have to be concerned. LeBron James in year 21, 39 years old. He's been dealing with this ankle issue before All-Star break. for the past couple of weeks. You just said he's going to be missing back-to-back games possibly. And this is a team that is hoping to try to make another historic run like they did last year. They're behind the eight ball. You know, they're scaling backwards. They're in the play-in game. They can't guard anybody. This doesn't really mold well for the Lakers if you're looking long-term. You ask yourself, even if LeBron James is able to fight through these injuries and if the Lakers are able to put another run together, how much will he even have going through the playoffs? We all know the playoffs is a whole different season and a different level in terms of physicality. And, you know, that's just something that when you talk about with LeBron James and his health at his age, is it even fair to ask him to, you know, propel this team again like he did last year? And to Perk's point, you know, they need AD to be a superstar. If they have any chance to make a run and hold it down and to get into the plan and get into the playoffs, they need AD to be that guy, 100%. You have to be concerned.
Perk, you mentioned the fact that LeBron had 31, 13, and 5. That's his 99th 30-point 10-assist game, which is the third most in NBA history. Winnie, I'm going to ask you this. Are the Lakers still a threat after that loss?
I mean, if you give me a laser pointer, a spreadsheet, and a whiteboard, I could build you a case that they could do something. I mean, one of the things about the Western Conference is it's going to be very matchup dependent because the way things have played out, teams who have size can kind of manhandle teams that don't have size. We saw that with the Lakers this week against the Thunder. The Lakers are 3-1 against the Thunder. If the Lakers can get into the playoffs, which is going to be hard at this point, but if they can get through a play-in tournament and get in and they're facing Oklahoma City, yeah, they got a shot for sure. Oklahoma City's not experienced. The Lakers can win on the road. I mean, yeah, but at the end of the day, we are now in mid-March, you know, early to mid-March here. They are in 10th place. This was a very important game for them last night because the Kings are one of the teams that they've got to try to crawl over to get out of the 9-10 spot in the play-in. That 9-10 spot, you can't look at the 7th spot and the 10th spot as everybody's in the play-in. The difference between 9 and 10 and 7 and 8 is so big because not only do you got to win two games, but the second game is going to be on the road. You're going to have to go on the road in a single game elimination situation and win it. And that's just a big ask. And so this game was an opportunity for the Lakers on their home court, and they've been playing well to get to the Kings, and the Kings just slapped them down. As Perk said, the Kings have owned the Lakers over the last 2 years. It's really traced to the AD Domantas Sabonis matchup. Sabonis has pretty much owned AD. Now, AD is having a good year. He had his 50th double-double last night, but Sabonis has owned him, and so you're asking me to paint you a picture of the Lakers making a run. Well, what happens if they have a play-in situation where they have to go to Sacramento, who I think is 7-1 against them the last 2 years, and Sabonis is 9-0 in his career against AD? Am I going to sit here and tell you that I like their chances in that game? I can't. And this is an example of why it's just I can't rule it out, but it's hard to build a real case for the Lakers to do what they did last year.
You know, when people ask this question about, you know, are the Lakers a real threat, all I hear is, you know, maybe. I mean, if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. And the answer to this question is hell no, they're not a threat in the Western Conference. They are not. Like, we need to stop saying that, not stop thinking that. No one in the top tier or that's in the playoffs, in the playoff hunt, in the playoff picture, or the play-in tournament is worried about the Los Angeles Lakers. They can't guard a park car. They're struggling to find an identity on both sides of the floor consistently. Darvin Ham don't know what lineups he want to throw out there on a night-to-night basis. You know, and so they're all over the place. And when I think about, you know, teams like the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Kings, the Warriors. Right now, the Warriors are better than the Lakers. If they was to match up in the play-in tournament, I would actually take Steph Curry, Jonathan Kuminga, and the Golden State Warriors the way that they're playing right now. So, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to this for the Lakers. You're going to finish up strong. They're going to be in the play-in tournament. They're probably, their ceiling is a first-round exit, in my opinion, the way that they're looking right now. And then they got to look into the offseason and see what you know, big-time star that they could go in the track, you know, maybe trade for, like a Trae Young or a Donovan Mitchell.
I think the question here is a threat to what? You know, I mean, is it a threat to make the playoffs? Is it a threat to make the, you know, conference finals? If we're talking about the playoffs, then, yeah, sure, they can be a threat. We saw this last year. A lot of people counted the Lakers out. And then LeBron James made that run. I've learned a lesson throughout my NBA career and just watching basketball. You don't ever count out LeBron James, especially with a guy like Anthony Davis next to him. Obviously, AD had a poor game last night, but he actually has had a pretty solid season. D'Lo, as of late, as well, had a bad game last night, but he has been turning it up and playing his best in basketball, arguably, of his career. They have the pieces there in terms of role play. I mean, look, you look at this spreadsheet, man. They got guys scoring 23, 31, 29. So the issue right now for me is, if we're going to talk about the negative with the Lakers, is they cannot guard the ball. They have issues guarding the ball. So when we talk about them being a 10 seed and possibly playing an OKC first, who's guarding Shea Alexander? I saw De'Aaron Fox last night cut up this team, man. 44 points. They had no answer for him. And I love Austin Reeves. He's a good offensive player, but he's not a guy that we look to as a defensive stopper. I love Torian Prince. I love D'Lo. These guys are shooters, guys who can space the floor, but they're not defensive stoppers. They don't really have perimeter defense, which is my issue. So we're asking LeBron James and Anthony Davis to overcome a lot, especially with the injuries that LeBron is fighting through right now. It's going to be tough for them. I don't see them making a run to the conference finals again, so I don't know if it's that level of a threat. But are they a threat to where they could play one of these younger teams and cause problems? Maybe, sure. But they have some issues that they got to address. They got to find a consistent lineup that they believe in, that they can build some type of continuity in, which is going to be tough with 18 games left. And they got to find a way to keep the ball in front.
So Austin, are you telling us and telling America that you're officially losing faith in the Los Angeles Lakers, or have lost faith? Because about two or three weeks ago, on NBA Today, now you was going back and forth with me about this same situation and the same topic.
Correct.
About the Lakers being the threat. Telling me you jumping out? It's okay now because we all admit
now. The ankle issue is alarming. I mean, he's leaving games, and now we're questioning whether he's going to be able to play back-to-back games. I mean, that's a big deal. So I mean, that changes and alters some things, Perk. But I'm glad you're taking notes on my
You got
takes.
The receipts.
I'm gonna start taking some receipts with you, Perk.
I mean, you know,
if that's what we're doing,
you know,
because you got some takes too, brother.
No, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? And I hold myself accountable, but damn it, I got to hold you accountable too. I just asked the question.
I respect it. Goes around.
I will say what Austin said is right. The way that they couldn't contain, by the way, 16 baskets in the paint. That was the number, Austin. 16 baskets in the paint for De'Aaron Fox last night. Now, his floater game is one of the most elite I've ever seen. He's had 7 40-point games this year. This guy's a stud. But you're right, they couldn't handle him there. But the big thing I will say is, you compare this year's team with last year's Laker team, because their record is about the same as it was at the same spot last year. The big difference is that, for the most part, the Lakers have been healthy. Yes, they've had some role players who've been out. Yes, LeBron has been dealing with some ankle issues that kept him in and out. But AD has been healthy the whole season. LeBron has been generally available most of the season. And the record that they had last year was not indicative of their team, because the first two-thirds of the season, they had Russell Westbrook and a completely mismatched lineup, and they were playing a much different brand of basketball from mid-February on, and their record was sort of a relic of the past. This year, they are who they are. And what they are is a 10th place team. And that is just the reality of it.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Okay, we got to leave that conversation there because we got some breaking news this morning. Minnesota Timberwolves all-star forward Karl-Anthony Towns has a meniscus injury in his left knee and is evaluating options. Sources confirmed to our Adrian Wojnarowski and Brian Windhorst. So, Wendy, I'm going to start with you on this one. How concerned are you about Kat and the Timberwolves?
Pretty concerned because, I think the thing about meniscus injuries is there's a huge wide range that can happen. And so I think the most important thing is not to jump to any conclusions today that, he may be able to avoid surgery, at least in the short term, and continue to play. He may have to have surgery. That's being determined by experts in this period here. But either way, he's hurt. And there's a possibility that exists he could miss time. And the Wolves, they're in first place right now by a half a game. I do believe in the Wolves because of their defense, and their defense can travel, and they give Denver, it's a real matchup situation for Denver. And so I am a believer in the Wolves, even though they really haven't advanced in the playoffs literally in 20 years. I mean, I've said Anthony Edwards was basically in diapers the last time this team won a playoff series. So they need to be at full power, and this is a significant injury. So we will know more in the next few days. The Wolves do have terrific depth at big man. Naz Reid is arguably the best big man off the bench in the NBA, or at least one of the best. And so if Towns has to miss time, they have that other option. But Karl Towns adds a level of spacing and scoring from that four spot that you almost can't find anywhere in the league, especially with a defensive player like Rudy Gobert. So this is a very concerning development for the Timberwolves. And if I'm the Western Conference, especially that top four, where they're all so tightly bound up, I'm talking the Thunder a half game back, the Nuggets are a game back going into tonight's big game with the Celtics. I am watching very closely for how this Towns injury ends up playing out, because it could have a huge impact on the Wolves' ability to finish the season strong.
Yeah, Wendy, I'm in 100% agreement. This is a huge loss. Obviously, we don't know the severity of the injury. I'm hoping that Kat can come back and be fully healthy. We don't know if it's an actual tear. We don't know what type of injury it is to the meniscus. But if we're talking about, worst case scenario, if this guy is out, this is a huge piece. We're not talking about a role player here. We're talking about an NBA All-Star. This is a guy who people questioned last year fitting in with Rudy Gobert, or Rudy fitting in with him. They solved that problem. They had the number one defense in the league. They have size. And when we talk about teams that can contend against Denver Nuggets, we always bring up Minnesota due to their size. They have multiple big men who they can throw at a guy like Joker and cause problems. Not to mention the two-man game that he has with Ant. Karl provides spacing, he provides scoring, he's upped his defense, he's upped his leadership role there, he's fitting in, and obviously he's been there long term, but in terms of the chemistry of him and Ant, that's really a Batman-Robin situation. I mean, that's like us talking about the Bucks, and you're taking your second best player away. That'd be like us taking Damian Lillard out of the picture. Now we're talking about a whole different team here. So, and I love Naz Reid. Naz Reid is the best backup big in the NBA, by the way, Wendy. You got that 100% right. But Karl-Anthony Towns is an all-star, and for them to compete, if we're talking about a serious run, them getting to the conference finals, which I hope for the city of Minnesota, which would be really dope. I mean, the last time we saw this, or this team, have that level of success was all the way back when Ticket was there. So, I hope he gets back, but this is a big, big deal, man. This changes the landscape of the West if he's out.
For sure, and it's unfortunate for the Timberwolves and Karl-Anthony Towns. The first thing that I'm going to say is that I want to make sure Karl-Anthony Towns know to do the best for Karl-Anthony Towns. Not the team, not Big Perk, not Austin, not Wendy, not the fans. Do the best for Karl-Anthony Towns and make sure that you're healthy. That's number one. Number two, Austin Naz Reid has been balling, right? But I think Bobby Portis would like a little, will have a say in this conversation for his best bigs coming in off the bench. But here's another thing, right? When I look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, with Karl-Anthony Towns, I really believe that they're a legit threat of coming out of the Western Conference. And I strongly believe that. Without Karl-Anthony Towns, I feel like they could reach the second round. Second round is their ceiling in the Western Conference. But, this completely changed the whole landscape of everything. And also, I know you can't, quote unquote, try to work and see who you could play against or try to go against a certain team or seed your way into the postseason. But, if you're the teams at the bottom, you kind of want this smoke with the Minnesota Timberwolves right now.
All right, we'll leave that conversation there. As you mentioned, very tough with only 20 games left on the season. So we'll see what happens with Kat. Let's keep it in the Western Conference. Last night, Stephen Curry had 29 points while Jonathan Kuminga scored 20. And the Warriors ran away from Milwaukee for a 125-90 win. That is the Bucks' first loss since the All-Star break. Stephen Curry caught up with George Sedano. We don't have that. So I'm going to go to you, Perk, on this one. Are the Warriors back as true contenders in the West?
Hell no. Hell no. They're too late to the party. They're too late to the party. They didn't get the VIP wristbands and they can't get in. Here's the problem, right? Are they playing some exceptional basketball right now? Yes, they are. But at the end of the day, they're playing catch up for where they started off from the beginning of the season. And when I look at this team, I strongly believe that Jonathan Kuminga, he's going to be special. Right, what Podziemski is bringing to the table, leading the league in charges taken right now, he is going to be huge for them in the future. But we all know this, is that that playbook gets a little bit thicker when it comes to the postseason, okay? And Jonathan Kuminga, he's going to go through growing pains, right? They're going to have a scout report on him. He's going to have to do things out of his character and out of his body that's going to make him go work on other things in the offseason. And that's okay. At the end of the day, I just look at the top dogs. I look at the Denver Nuggets. I look at the Clippers. I look at all these teams that are in the top of the West. And if I have to match the Warriors up with them, I can't see them getting past those teams. I just don't believe that the Warriors are true contenders.
Listen, I want to disagree with you just for the sake of good TV. But I have to agree with Perk here, man. Listen, when you talk about this team, they've had struggles all year. And I love Kuminga. First off, I want to give a shout-out to Kuminga for him to call out Hall of Fame coach about needing more playing time and then get that playing time and do what he's doing with it. I got to give you that respect, Jonathan. But this team is just not what they used to be. I have the utmost respect. I've taken too many L's from the Warriors over my career. But if we're talking about right now in the landscape of the Western Conference, do you see them beating the Clippers? The answer would be no. You see them beating the Denver Nuggets? We know that's a no. I don't see them beating Phoenix either. So when we talk about the top teams, which they're going to have to play, considering where their seeding's at, I don't see them advancing or moving forward and having a deep run. I just don't think they have the depth, for one. You know, obviously, Klay Thompson is not the Klay Thompson of old. He's still a very solid player. You know, you got to give him that respect. But he's not the 2015, 2016 Klay Thompson who's averaging 20 points a game. Their system doesn't have the same fluidity. Obviously, Jonathan Kuminga is a lot of things, but he's a different traditional player than the Warriors are used to having. Their team is usually always based off of ball movement and just passing and screens and that whole type of jazz. You know, Kuminga is more of a new age scorer. So that's been a new dynamic that they've tried to been figuring out over the season. And they have. They've been playing better and better. But if we're seriously talking about contention for a title, I just don't see that for the Warriors. I think they could possibly get into the playoffs. Again, just how we don't count out LeBron James, I don't like to count out Stephen Curry, but I don't think they can contend.
Well, it depends on your definition of contender. I mean, if your definition is, do I see them in the finals? No, I don't. But I do see them as a threat in the West, and a couple of reasons. One, in the opposite of the Lakers, when you look at the Warriors' record, I don't think it's indicative of who they are because they've had a lot of drama this season, Draymond situation, plus they've totally changed their style of play from where they were in November and December to where they are now, elevating two young guys into the starting lineup, reformatting their style a little bit, and they've got a favorable schedule. I think, I don't know if I would predict it, but I think they've got a real chance to get into that top six, to not only avoid the 9-10, but potentially even get into the top six. And if they do that, then you're looking at, well, where's the matchup fall? Is there a favorable matchup that falls? I think they're more comparable to last year's Lakers than this year's Lakers team is. And so that's why I wouldn't write them off. I think they are ascending as a team. They've been playing better basketball for 5-6 weeks now. I am not afraid of them. I am not laying awake thinking about them if I'm Denver like I might have been 2 years ago. But if you end up on the opposite end of them in the first round, especially if you're an inexperienced team, especially if they haven't had to win in a play-in, I think they're still dangerous. And I'm going to be very interested to see how high they can get over this next month.
I do want to mention one stat because I found it very interesting. Per Elias, the Warriors are the third team in NBA history to lose by 35 points or more and then win by 35 points or more in consecutive games. We love that for them.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Yep, there has been a lot of conversation about the culture in Dallas this week, and a lot of folks have weighed in. Former Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz is now with the Texans, but he spent 5 seasons in Dallas. And yesterday, he spoke on the Pat McAfee Show about the atmosphere at practice and on game day. Take a listen.
Literally, it's a zoo, dude. There's people tapping on the glass, like trying to get people's attention as they're doing, you know, power cleans or whatnot. And it's just, it's different. And I mean, that's the brand that they've built. That's, you know, that's what Jerry Jones likes. That's the way that they run things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you don't realize like how many, you know, eyeballs and how much that can maybe, you know, distract from, you know, stuff just in the locker room, being in the facility, until you go somewhere else and you're like, holy crap, like, dude, there's none of that.
We got Harry Douglas, Kimberly Martin, and Damian Woody here now to talk a little Cowboys. You're sitting in Stephen A.C. I just want to point that out. I'm going to start with you, Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
Is this proof that there is a culture problem in Dallas?
I think the comments are a big deal. I think it's just more evidence of the fact that when we talk about the Cowboys, we tend to talk about things that don't have anything to do with football. And I think Dalton's talking about, man, it's a zoo. And we have to, Damon, don't even look at me like that, because we're trying to get to a good place. Hear me out on this. We talk about the Cowboys. We're talking about Jerry, talking to the media all the time. We're talking about culture. We're talking about teammates' mamas and teammates' brothers. Everybody talking about the Cowboys and Dak and the this and the that. And you know what we're not talking about? We're not talking about them in the Super Bowl. We're not talking about them in the NFC Championship. Despite all the talent in the world that they have on this roster, despite all the money that they have, Jerry's world, where is the winning football in the postseason? Just direct me to it. What decade? What? Show it to me, Damian. So when we talk about a winning culture and all the things that happen in Jerry's world, I think we're talking about a level of acceptance to just, hey, we win in the regular season, and we'll get you next year. So while you may not think, because I could tell by the face and the way you're looking at me and the fact that we just spent 2 hours on Get Up Together, I know exactly what you're about to say. I do think this is indicative of a larger issue. And if the Cowboys won on the field, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Now you may go.
Cowboys win on the field. I'm sorry, Christina.
Oh, no.
Last time I checked. Didn't the Cowboys win 12 games, three straight years? Three straight years. We're talking about, said winning culture, right?
Uh-huh.
Is 12 wins in the season, that's a lot of winning, right? It's a lot of winning. Okay, hold on. Had your time.
You're right.
Now I need to have my time here, okay?
You're right, Bishop.
We're literally talking about Dalton Schultz talking about people knocking on the glass while people working out.
It's a zoo, and
it's the reason why the Dallas Cowboys. It's part of the culture of the Dallas Cowboys as to why they haven't won in the postseason. Are we being serious here? Like, is it like? this is the level that we're going as it relates to the Dallas Cowboys. It's real simple. The Dallas Cowboys have a winning culture.
When?
They have a winning culture. When you win 12 games, mm-hmm. three straight years, you have a winning culture. Mm-hmm. They don't have a championship mm-hmm. culture. Okay, and the Dallas Cowboys' main problem is their stars don't play like stars at the most important moments in the postseason. But to sit here and say that, people just knocking on the glass while they're working out, like all of a sudden that's leading to why they're not winning in the postseason. It's just, we've literally jumped the shark when it comes to the Cowboys.
But before Harry speaks, I just want to know which one of us on today's set looked into the camera earlier today and was pleading with the Dallas Cowboys stars to play like stars. Was that me or was that you?
I did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because but what the winning culture, you would need to do that?
That doesn't speak to culture. It just speaks to their stars need to play like stars.
Harry.
Their stars need to be accountable when it matters most. That's all I'm saying. That's all it is.
Okay,
Go ahead.
All right. That is enough. That is enough from Bishop Woody. That is enough from First Lady Kimberly. Now it's time for Rev to get in here and talk his numbers. Now, here's the thing I would say. Number one, it starts with Jerry Jones at the top because, Woody, you was with the New England Patriots. You were with the Jets organization. I was with the Atlanta Falcons and also the Tennessee Titans. And I think as an owner, you would hope to create or eliminate every distraction possible for your guys and your players to be able to have the most success on a football field. And that's in the regular season, but most importantly, that's in the playoff season. And I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys going 12-5, 12-5, 12-5 the last 3 years, that has not been the case. When you have an owner that is the only owner in the National Football League talking after games, when you have an owner that's at the Senior Bowl talking about Bill Belichick when no one even asked him a damn question about Bill Belichick after he just said that Mike McCarthy is going to mm-hmm. be his coach moving forward, mm-hmm. that all these things are issues. And then you look at Jerry Jones. Now, I will give him this. Jerry Jones is the greatest car salesman that we have in the United States right now currently. And then when he talks about going all in, see, I'm not going to let him sell water to a whale to me. I'm not going to let him trick me. When you're talking about going all in, you would think you would go all in the last 3 years that you went 12-5. Not just this year, because that was deemed a Super Bowl window for this team to be able to make it to a Super Bowl, right? So why all of a sudden you want to go all in 2024, but not go all in the previous 3 years when you went 12-5, 12-5? And when you look at this football team from DeMarcus Lawrence saying he's tired, for a playoff game against the Green Bay Packers after they got ran through. And you have all the off-the-field stuff with this football team. We start Freddie and Harry, which is 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. every day Eastern time on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, the Sports Network, and everything else, folks. We start our show with the main thing is the main thing. And when I look at this organization and within the Dallas Cowboys, it's not the main thing is the main thing. Now, here's a little nugget for Jerry Jones. That franchise is worth $8 billion. That's a billion and a half more so than the next franchise. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what that number would get to if they made an NFC Championship game, in which they haven't done since January 1996? Can you imagine what that number would get to if they reach the Super Bowl and, Lord, but tell it, they win it? That number would increase drastically. So when it comes to this organization, the main thing don't be the main thing. And Woody, yes, I do agree with you. Stars have to play like stars, and we can't forget that part. The biggest names on the Dallas Cowboys, when the time presents itself and it's the biggest moment, they have to perform that way. And that's has not been the case the last 3 years. Now, First Lady, Bishop, take the floor.
I just want to say that I might have to leave the Bishop and First Lady. I might have to divert to Harry's congregation, because the Harry Douglas congregation seems to be speaking my language. I don't know. I don't know, Bishop. I feel like maybe I just need to change where I go to.
My thing is this, is like, so we're going to sit here and say that Jerry Jones' press conferences outside the locker room had any bearing on Aaron Jones running wild on the Dallas Cowboys in the playoff game. Let's just be real.
They have personal
issues. I guess my feeling is that the players have to be more accountable for their actions on the field when it matters most. And so for me, I don't get into all of that stuff. I don't think that has any bearing on what the Dallas Cowboys are doing on the field. For me, it's real simple. I did it on Get Up, and I look to the camera right now.
Plead your case.
You need to play your best ball when it matters most. Okay? C.D. Lamb, you need to do the same thing. Michael Parsons, you need to do the same thing. If that happens, the Dallas Cowboys will get to where they want to go. That's the main problem here. It has nothing to do with people knocking on glass while they're working out. That has nothing to do with the Dallas Cowboys and why they've fallen short in the postseason.
Harry.
Woody, I want you to listen to this, though, Woody, because we had a guy yesterday on Pat McAfee's show that played with the Dallas Cowboys for 5 years, Woody. This is not us going to the facility and saying, man, this place is a zoo. Someone who actually played on the football team for 5 years just came out and said, it's a zoo. Now, how in the hell are you going to win a championship if a place is a zoo?
That's all.
Answer the question to me. How?
That's the question I had, Mr. Woody.
Because knocking on a glass has nothing to do with your performance on the field?
But imagine. But it's
further than just knocking on the glass, Woody. I think knocking on the glass and trying to be distracted while you're lifting weights. But why in the hell would I want to be lifting weights with a team I play on and people trying to get my attention so they can say hello to me? You can do tours at another time if you're Jerry Jones. But Jerry Jones is not going to do that because he's going to monetize the Dallas Cowboys and he's going to make his money. You know why? Because he got to pay Micah. That's why.
Micah. Here's the thing. It's not what Dalton Schultz is saying is like the reason that they can't stop Aaron Jones, right? But they have personnel issues. They got to get bigger on the interior.
Yeah.
They got to figure out how to run the ball better and also stop the
run. You're speaking my language right now. Okay.
See, okay. We back, baby.
We back in there. Okay.
But it is not just that. The fact that, again, Woody, the fact that you got to look at the camera and say, guys, I'm sick of talking about y'all. Please do your job. That is a problem, right, my friend. That is a problem. And don't act brand new. Like, we don't talk about them every single week, every single day, because they continuously fall short despite having one of the best rosters in the NFL year after year. So when you talk to me about winning culture, no, if you got to look in the camera and say, hey, guys, time is now, that's an issue for me.
HG? Were you going to say something?
No, like Woody, I you know me, man. I'm not going to sit up here and say that with the Dallas Cowboys players, I'm going to excuse that. No, they got to ball out from top to bottom. It's inexcusable for them to let a first-year starting quarterback and Jordan Love come into their home, in which they were phenomenal in 2023, and beat them in the manner that they did. But at the same time, these players got to play up to their capabilities. But When we talk about a business and how that business is structured and the success of that business, you know where it starts at? It starts at the top. So, yes, I'm going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys players. I'm going to talk about their infrastructure. I'm going to talk about the guy at the top, Jerry Jones, because I think all those things go hand in hand. And if they're not on the same one accord in unison, then we're going to get the collapses that we've seen from this team in the playoffs the last 3 years.
I do want to just ask you, D. Wood, do you not think that the environment affects the players' play on the field in the way that they're saying that it does?
No, because we always talk about as players like you like tune out the noise. Focus, keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing.
Also, HG, I just want to shout you out because I see that haircut, my friend.
We see you.
Christine, I'm glad you said that because, see, Jerry Jones, change is okay. See, I'm too old for the mohawk. I had to change. See, change is okay.
Had to switch it
it's
up.
Okay to change.
Really looking like a reverend now. We love it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Okay, so some moves were made yesterday in Buffalo to help get the Bills under the salary cap after coming into the day more than $40 million over the cap. The Bills released key longtime starters that have been with the team since Sean McDermott became head coach in 2017. Among the moves they made, the Bills released Jordan Poyer, Jadeveon White, and Mitch Morse, all of whom have made the Pro Bowl. Overall, the Bills' moves will create nearly $26 million in cap space. We got D. Wood here, Kimberly Martin here, and Harry Douglas here. D. Wood, I'm going to start with you. Do you think the championship window is closed for Josh Allen and the Bills?
No, as long as they have Josh Allen, it's never closed, but I think this iteration of the Bills is over, and we clearly saw what by the moves that the Buffalo Bills made yesterday, you know, parting ways with a bunch of veteran guys who meant a lot to that organization, a bunch of really good players. And you know what? This is what happens when you have Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. Like, literally, you think about the Buffalo Bills over the last 4 years, they've been constantly knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door. But they, you know, for the most part, have run up against one team and one singular guy, and that's Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And so when you're in a salary cap era and you play, you know, you pay your quarterback, everyone can't get paid. You know, during that 4 year time, you saw the Buffalo Bills, they went out and acquired Von Miller. Why? Because they thought like their time was now. Like they went out and made moves to go to bolster their roster only to fall short in the postseason. And so now what you're seeing is, okay, a team that's over the salary cap, they got to retool, obviously part way with a bunch of veteran guys who were, you know, meant a lot to the organization. They're gonna have to go younger, depending on the draft and so on and so forth. But when you have Josh Allen, who's one of the three best quarterbacks that we have in that game, your window is never closed. It's just the Buffalo Bills that we saw over the last 4 years, that window, that team, that window is definitely closed.
Yeah, when I look at this football team and I look at how Josh Allen is his abilities and the way he plays the game of football, your window's going to be open. Now, I think the window is slimmer now. Because also what the last 6 years have told all of us, whether we like it or not, whether we're fans of all these different teams, is that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in the AFC Championship game. That's what history has told us. That's what the last 6 years have told us, whether we like it or not. So now, after looking at that, you're saying to yourself, you have Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Justin Herbert, you have Tua Tagovailoa, you have Trevor Lawrence, you have C.J. Stroud, you have Deshaun Watson, you have all these guys now fighting for one spot. Whether you like that or not, that's what the last 6 years have told us. So I think now the window is slimmer for the Buffalo Bills. And y'all, I had a chance to go to their playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I really thought the Buffalo Bills, that was their best chance to be able to reach a AFC Championship game again and potentially go on to their first Super Bowl in some time since the 90s. But they weren't able to get it done. But walking out of that stadium and hearing people, it was a little boy had to be about 10 years old, and he told his parents, man, we're never going to get to a Super Bowl. And just the deflation of so many people in Buffalo walking out of that stadium just feeling like, man, same thing, just another year. It was sad to see, man, because the city of Buffalo, you look at the four heartbreaks that they had losing those four Super Bowls that they did in the 90s, and then you look at this football team now from making an AFC championship game, losing to Patrick Mahomes, losing to Joe Burrow 2 years ago, losing to Mahomes this year, but you had the home field advantage. It's just devastating, but I do believe it's very, very slim, that window now, because of what Patrick Mahomes has showed us and being the standard of the National Football League, and also all the other quarterbacks fighting for that one other spot.
Yeah, so last year, Bills Mafia got mad at me because I was critical of Josh Allen and the Bills not maximizing on their opportunities. Mm-hmm. And this is why. Because the fact that Trey White, a guy, when I went to Buffalo to be a columnist, he was that was his draft class.
He was that dude. Yeah.
Jordan Poyer joined the Buffalo News the same year I was in Buffalo. Like, I'm watching guys the same year that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean arrive. Like, these are cornerstone figures. The fact that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer aren't leaving Buffalo together as Super Bowl champions is wild to me. And that is the problem. And it's not just Mahomes. It's Burrow. It's all these other quarterbacks. So, no, the window is open because of Josh Allen. But you see the roster dismantling that had to take place. This is what happens when you, from Houston, Kansas City, Buffalo, the losing to the Bengals, and then KC again. These are the things that if you're a fan, this is what I'm talking about. Because the window is so small for any team, even with a great quarterback. But when you don't maximize, especially with these quarterbacks getting paid what they're getting paid, you got winning culture. Winning culture.
Winning culture? Okay.
That's it. It's a shame because Trey White and Jordan Poyer, stand-up guys, Mitch Morris, like, it was sad to see because Buffalo is too talented of a team to have that sort of dismantling now. It's just the NFL reality.
This is just, again, I'll just point out, when you got Patrick Mahomes in your conference, this is what you're up against.
Yeah.
This is what you're up against every year.
Yep.
You gotta take advantage of when the Chiefs are down, when Joe Burrow is hurt, when the Ravens may not have, you know what, you gotta take advantage of those opportunities.
Harry, you mentioned it. The Bills looking to make the Super Bowl for the first time since 1993 when they lost four consecutive Super Bowls.